السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. مے دا پیس اینڈ بلیسنگز آف اللہ بی اپون یو آل. ایز اٹ از بین شیئرڈ آلریڈی دیٹ ٹوڈے دا ٹاپک از فالوئنگ دا سننا آف دا ہولی پرافٹ محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم اور ان جنرل فالوئنگ دی ہولی پرافٹ محمد پیس اینڈ بلیسنگز آف اللہ بی اپون ہم. وین وی یوز دا ورڈ سننا, Sunnah refers to the actions of Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So those practices that the Prophet adopted or that he did on a regular basis, that is referred to as Sunnah. And as believers, it is our obligation, it is our religious duty that we try to adopt the Sunnah. So in today's, inshallah, discussion, we will go through the importance of it, and also I will share some very basic practices that we can all adopt and try to become more like Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This verse that is in chapter 3 verse 32, God Almighty says, say, if you love Allah, follow me. So God Almighty in this verse is addressing Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And he is telling the Prophet that say to the people, announce to the people. What should he announce? He should announce that if you love Allah, then follow me. Follow me as in Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Then will Allah love you and forgive you your sins. And Allah is most forgiving and merciful. So, in this verse, one very important teaching has been given, and that is, as religious people, people who accept a faith, any faith, the reason we do that, or we should have adopted any religion, is to attain love of God Almighty, attain love and pleasure of God Almighty, gain His nearness. Because otherwise, we're all living our life in this world and going about our day-to-day things. But inside us, we know that there is more to life than just this world, than just this life that we're living. So while we understand that, we try to understand the reality of life better, the spiritual side of the life better. To do that, we follow the different religions of God Almighty that we have come across. For Muslims that have studied and understood their religion, not just following it blindly, not just because their fathers and forefathers practiced it, but because they understand the reasoning behind it, they follow this so that they can gain nearness to Allah. They can win the pleasure of Allah. Any tool, any method they can adopt to win the love of Allah, their creator, their master, they would do. That is the purpose of any religion, that it's supposed to connect you with God Almighty. If you are in a religion where you make claims, where you make statements, but there is nothing that brings you closer to Allah, there's nothing that brings you closer to God Almighty, then that practice that you're doing is not complete, or that teaching that you're following is incomplete. So in the Holy Quran, God Almighty, that the whole teaching, the entire book that Allah has given us, the scripture that He has revealed upon Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the fundamental purpose of its coming down from God Almighty is so that we can connect with God Almighty. And in this very verse, God Almighty, in chapter 3, verse 32, God Almighty makes it even more simple for us, that if you want to, or you claim to love Allah, if you claim that you love Allah, then obviously you want Allah to love you back as well. What is there that you can do to win the love of Allah? What you can do is, Allah says, follow Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. When you will do that, yuhibbukumullah, Allah will love you back and forgive you. So Allah gives a very simple and straightforward answer, that if you wish to follow, if you wish that I should love you, then you should follow Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. You see, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah the Almighty sent him as a mercy for mankind. This is why Allah the Almighty wants us to take his character, take his practices, take his sunnah, and apply that to our lives. He was not an ordinary man. He lived different aspects of life. He passed through different phases in life. He passed through times which were filled with adversity, day after day, one after another, tragedies were falling upon him. But he remained steadfast and grateful to Allah and polite and humble. Then there were days where he would go hungry for days, and still he would be content and grateful to Allah. Then the times changed and Allah made him the king, and he was, you know, in a way, so to speak, the richest man in Arabia. But still, when you looked at him and when you went to his house, his life of simplicity taught us that how we should live. Even in that moment, when somebody interacted with him, even when he was the king, people interacted with him and in a rude manner, how he treated them at that time, very similar to how he treated them when he was an ordinary man with no power and nothing. The same compassion and forgiveness and mercy that he practiced then, he practiced later as well, but rather even more so, because now he is in a position to show mercy and compassion to more people. So this is why we follow the Holy Prophet, peace and Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, because his character, God Almighty says, is such that if you follow his character and you try to live up to his character, then it is guaranteed that I would love you back. Because no one in this world has been able to win the love of Allah, the pleasure of Allah, like the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. If anyone can attain love of Allah in this life, the highest level that one can try to reach is that of Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. We may not reach that high level, but that is what we can aspire as humans. That is the highest level that one can achieve. So this is why we look towards Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And Allah gives this assurance. God gives this assurance that, listen, if you want me to love you, if you want to win my pleasure, that is what every believer wants, every faithful person in God wants, then you should follow the character and example of Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is this very famous narration just to understand his mercy, his compassion. The Prophet of Allah, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he once took a journey to preach the message of Islam and also to find a place where he could go and practice his faith more freely than what he was able to practice in his first town, in his hometown of Mecca. So he went to this another town a little far away from Mecca called Taif, T-A-I-F, Taif. He went to this place and started preaching to the people there. He spent a day, 2 days, whatever, some, you know, amount of day time there, and he continued to meet with the chiefs of the place and, you know, other honorable or respectful people in that place, and then ordinary people and whatever he could find, whomever he could find, he would preach to them and give them the invitation of coming towards God Almighty, leaving idol worship and worshiping Allah alone. At the start, those people started to ignore him. They ignored him that, okay, whatever he's saying, it doesn't matter. We don't need to pay attention, just ignoring him completely. But they realized that if we ignore, especially the chiefs and the leaders of that town, they felt that if we leave him alone and he goes and preaches to other people, like the youngsters of our community or others that according to them were not so sensible, and he appeals to them, meaning they listen to his message and get attracted to his message, then it could be a problem for us. So what we should do is we should run him out of the town. So what the people in that town of Taif did was that they got some of the youngsters and instigated them to chase Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam out of the town by hurling rocks at him, throwing rocks and stones and pebbles and whatever they can find at him. And Prophet, peace be upon him, in his humble, peaceful effort, trying to preach the message, and this was the response. So that's what the youngsters, the children started to do and continue to throw, pelt him with, you know, stones and rocks and whatever they could find to the point that Prophet, peace be upon him, and his companion that was with him, they ran out of town and went away, and these people kept coming after them. When the Prophet reached out of town, it is mentioned that when he was leaving, he was escaping or moving out, at that time his feet and his whole body was bleeding so much that his shoes were filled with blood. This is how much he was bleeding at that time because of the trouble. It's not just that some people just chucked some stones and nothing happened, but rather it caused so much physical pain and bleeding due to this. And when he left town, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, used to refer to this day as one of his hardest, most toughest day in his life later on. He mentioned it to one of his wives that that was one of the most painful day that I have endured. And when he left the town, he went out and he found a safe place where him and his companion could sit down and relax under a tree for a little while. At that time, it is narrated that angel of Allah appeared before the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said to the Prophet that, O Prophet of Allah, if you give the authority or the permission, I would crush these people that live between two mountains, then live in the valley, live between two mountains, and if you know, there would be no sign left of them. And the mercy of Allah, the mercy of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, rather, in this time, you know, came forth, and instead of praying against these people that had persecuted him, that had pushed him to the point where he was filled with blood, soaked with blood, he instead of saying something against those people, the Prophet of Allah prays for them. He says to the angel that even if these people do not accept Islam, I do hope from Allah that there will be persons from among their progeny who would worship Allah and serve His cause. So this was the mindset that Prophet of Allah had, that even in that moment of pain, you know, he was not praying against them. And amongst us people, you know, many of us, we go through something tough, an experience where somebody makes us angry. Even sometimes when, you know, if you're driving or you're in a taxi and you notice that the taxi driver that is driving and somebody else does something foolish, immediately the drivers start to get angry and they want to get back at these people. Happens to most of us or many of us. And in many other day-to-day occasions as well, that when somebody causes us harm or we suffer or we lose something because of someone, we tend to get really angry at them. And in that moment, thinking that we would actually be praying for them, saying that Allah bless you, it's a very difficult thing. Prophet of Allah, Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even in that moment, he is praying. Even not in that moment, rather I should say, in a really serious, severe pain, bleeding, and he's praying for the people that don't punish these people. Allah, he's praying for them that if not them, because they don't have the sense, they don't realize, if not them, then their children, their progenies will accept Islam. And if they're crushed today, then how will their progenies and future generations be able to benefit from the message? So this mercy was the reason. He was mercy for mankind. His entire being was mercy. And this is the reason that we try to follow Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the way he exhibited how to live our lives so peacefully and amicably, no other person has done it to that degree and shown us that even in power, even in poverty, and any other situation in between, how do you go about practicing being humble, being polite, being forgiving, being merciful? And if we are able to do that, that is when we can attain the love of Allah. Without exhibiting these characteristics, by being, you know, a bigot, meaning somebody who's self-righteous, who believes that I am so pious and more pious and righteous than others, even if not in words, even if it doesn't say it with words, but his actions give that vibe, then such a person cannot win the love and pleasure of Allah, because Prophet of Allah, Holy Prophet Muhammad, whom we are told to copy, to imitate, to take as a role model, he never did that. He always took forgiveness and compassion as his day to, you know, as his permanent go-to in every situation. Now, as a believer, as a person, as a human, as an ordinary human being, it may not be possible for any one of us to change overnight and adopt every characteristic of Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, particularly these characteristics that speak about his compassion, how he was so kind and forgiving, how he was just, observed justice in everything, right? To make sure that everybody gets their due right. How he was forgiving to the most bitter of his opponents, all these things. They're not easy to adopt. They take a lot of discipline, lot of practice, and prayers from Allah the Almighty to be steadfast. And then we reach that level, or we can try to reach some level where we adopt those qualities. But before we reach that, the end goal or the primary goal is that. But at the same time, while we're trying to adopt these big, important characteristics of Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are smaller characteristics of Prophet, peace be upon him, or smaller practices that the Prophet had, rather, that we should try to adopt. For example, I mean, if you, for example, look at how one eats something, how one drinks water, how one drinks milk, how does someone get up, how do they sit down, and when they're sitting, are they slouching, and when they're walking, how are they walking? Like, all these different things that you can look at about a person. So Allah says, follow the Holy Prophet and I will love you. So of course the character is in those, traits like compassion, justice, forgiveness, but all those things, other things that are the smaller practices, that is what also makes up Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and we should try to implement them as well. And those are much easier to implement immediately. For example, if I tell you how the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, used to drink water, right? It is mentioned that he would not drink water in what big gulps. He would take small sips, and if he's drinking a good sized, normal sized cup or a glass of water or vessel of water, he would take three sips to drink the whole cup. So instead of taking the whole sip in one big gulp, or taking very, 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 very small sip that it would take ages, he would take moderate sips so that that the process is completed. But at the same time, it doesn't happen too quickly that it might cause some harm to the body, or it might cause some other issues and challenges. So those are, again, you can go into a lot of depth of each and every of those of practices. But if I tell you that this is what the Prophet did, or this is how he drank water, it is an easy thing for each one of us to follow. As soon as you hear, next time you're about to get water, or next time you're about to drink water, immediately you can follow that. You don't need practice for a long time to do this. I will just share, inshallah, a few small narrations today. And as much time allows, we'll try to go through as many of them. And so we should try to implement them as immediately as possible. Not something that, they don't require a lot of practice. So as long as you keep them in your mind and you start practicing them even next moment, today or even tomorrow morning, you can get into the habit of doing them permanently. So inshallah, I will share some small things with you in this regard. But then one thing that we should keep in mind, that the Prophet's example, Prophet of Allah, Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, Allah has said that follow him, right? So whatever the Prophet did, why did Allah recommend his, Allah is the one who created mankind. Allah is the one who created universe. Allah is the one who created nature and everything. So Allah the Almighty guided the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, to live his life in accordance with the nature, in accordance with logical thinking, with reasoning, not just do things out of spontaneity. Do them in a proper manner, do them in the right manner that is beneficial for you, both physically, spiritually, as well as for the entire, as humanity, it is better for us if we implement and practice those things. So this is why we follow the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, as well, that because whatever he said, whatever he did, it was not just that we take it and it could have detrimental effects to us. No, it cannot. Because whatever the Prophet, peace be upon him, practiced and he instructed us to do, or it was his regular practice, he was guided by the one who has created the universe, who has created the nature, very nature of man. So whatever he did helps us follow, or can help us benefit, rather, in our day-to-day lives, even if we're not to think of it from spiritual point of view, from logical, scientific, or natural point of view, right? But now it is up to you. You can choose to do what the Holy Prophet said out of logical reasons or for your love of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon. For believers, for Muslims, it will always be for the love of Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, because that is what drives them closer to Allah. That is what wins them the pleasure and love of Allah when they do it because the Prophet said so. Not because now, today, the science is saying that this is the right method to do. Right? So in just to share an example of this from the life of Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. It is it is mentioned that one time a companion of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, built a new house or built maybe some extension of his house. And as it is customary, it was customary, especially in the time of Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. But even today, when somebody builds something, they always invite, you know, maybe their imam or the pastor or some other, any other figure that they consider to be pious to come to their house and pray, right? To lead them in prayer and pray that Allah blesses this place. So similarly, with the Holy Prophet of Allah being there, the companion invited him to his house that, O Prophet of Allah, I have made this place. Please come over, when you have some time and lead us in prayers. So the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, went to his house and he observed the place. It was a very beautiful, nice little room that the gentleman had built. And the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, noticed one thing. He noticed that there was a window closer to the ceiling, on the wall, but closer to the ceiling. So a normal window is placed low at a level where you can look out from it. But in some countries, there is a tradition, there is a culture to build windows closer to the ceiling and not right in the ceiling, but on the wall way up there. So one simple reason is that light comes in. That is a very standard feature. We see that. But there is some other reasons as well. So the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, asked him that, you know, this is very nice what you have done, but this particular window that you have created up there, this is very smart of you. What is the reason that you have done this? Why did you make this? So the gentleman replied, the companion replied that, O Prophet of Allah, I have done this so the breeze can come through it, right? It is, again, this is, sometimes we think that all the scientific advancements have happened in last 100 or 200 years, and people before that had no knowledge. But in reality, the reason they used to put these windows above, close to the ceiling, as you can see in the picture as well, in the presentation here, they have windows in the upper part of the room, because it is the phenomenon is that the warm air or the hot air rises. So from there, it can escape and fresh air can come in and sink below, keeping the lower area cooler. So that is the science behind it. But the companion said that, O Prophet of Allah, I've created this so the breeze can come in. And the Prophet responded, he said that it is good that you've created this, but if your intention was, rather, that I have created this window so that I can hear the adhan call to prayer. Whenever it's time for prayer, I can hear the adhan coming into my house. The breeze would have come anyway, but you would have gotten the reward for doing it for the sake of the prayer, for the sake of Allah. So this is basically the fundamental. This is the essential thing to understand, that today the science is realizing and telling us to do a lot of those things that Islam already teaches us, may it be in regards to fasting, may it be in regards to, you know, the postures, the positions that we take during prayers, or other smaller practices that we learn from Holy Quran and Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. But if we do them today only because the science has proven them that we should do them, then again, we would get the benefit from it, but the reward would be missing. But if we do them simply because Allah or His Messenger have told us to do so, then we will get the reward as well as the benefit that whatever that carries. So this should always be kept in mind. These are very, very simple things that the Prophet, peace be upon him, used to do, and we can easily adopt them But then at the same time, our intention, our thought, our mind should always be that I am doing this because the beloved of Allah, the Master, Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of God be upon him, the one that Allah sent as a role model for mankind, he did it in this manner, so I am doing it as well. When we will have this intention, we will not just get the physical or the worldly benefit, but the spiritual reward as well. So let us see how many we can look at today, as much as the time permits, and then we can, inshallah, continue later on as well, continue to look at more, inshallah, in the future. So there's this one very simple practice. The Holy Prophet of Allah, peace be upon him, he said, when any one of you goes to bed, he should shake out his bed with the inside of his waist sheet, for he does not know what has come onto it after him. Now, very simple hadith. Now, depending on where you live, right? If you live in maybe in the rural side, in the countryside, you experience a lot of bugs and insects coming into the room, and you already probably do this practice that always shake your bed before getting inside, right? And maybe even because in some places there's hardly any bugs expected, but now, should those people where they don't expect bugs to be there, should they not do this or should they still do it? The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, it was his practice that he would not go into bed without cleaning or shaking his bed. So this is something that we should adopt, not just because it is common sense, but rather do it because the Prophet said so. Now, the same thing that we are doing, but we would be doing it for the sake of the reward as well and whatever ordinary benefit it might carry to our health or protect us from harm. So whatever the teachings of Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, are, they protect us from spiritual and physical harms. So that is what the Prophet is saying, that, you know, when you shake your bed, wipe your bed, clean your bed, it basically, protects you from harm. And there is much other science into it. As the more you reflect upon it, the more you see the benefits of it. There's one very popular book. You know, nowadays there's a phenomenon that people write a lot of books on psychological things or things that can help us, motivate us, self-help books they're called, to improve productivity. One of them, I think, talks about waking up early. And another, and it talks about making your bed. So all these things, the importance of making your bed in the morning, the person says, the writer says, that if you make your bed in the morning, that's where everything, it will set everything else in, order as well for you, right? So the author of the particular book, I don't have the name in mind. If somebody has it in their mind, they can share it in the comments. He says that make sure that you start your day by making your bed. And the reason is that once you do that, everything falls in order because you started your day in that manner. So similarly, when you make your bed at night, or when you fix your bed at night, instead of just getting into it with whatever, in whatever shape and way it is, you are actually conditioning yourself to wake up tomorrow morning with the right mindset that I want to wake up at this and this time, rather than just going into bed without thinking too much. So those, if you want to wake up for tahajjud prayer, fajr prayer, making your bed at night, making that intention and setting your bed straight at that time, allows you to make that intention in the right manner and live up to that intention, because you have already done the initial steps for that. That is before sleeping. But then again, from physical aspect, you have done already, you know, in case there could be a scorpion or any other harmful bug, you have wiped it from there as well. So following the practice of Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, you are able to save yourself from harm, but then also gain spiritual blessings as well. Again, as I said, I don't want to go into it too much depth, but there is so much more you read into it. The more you research on any of these narrations of Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, you find so much more scientific, or, scientific in the sense that how our brain is affected when we follow these things. It is amazing. Then another narration from, of Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, it is mentioned here, the prophet said that cover vessels, water skins, close the doors, and extinguish the lamps. For the Satan does not loosen the water skin, does not open the door, and does not uncover the vessels. And if one amongst you fails to find something to cover it well, he should cover it by placing a piece of wood across it. So the Prophet of Allah, what did he say? He said that make sure you cover your cups. So don't leave a cup of water or food or whatever, a vessel, uncovered. If there is food inside it, water inside it, juice inside it, anything inside it, don't leave it uncovered. Cover it with something. Now you might be doing that already, but the intention that the Prophet said, I'm going to do it, you should do it, I am going to do it for that reason. This is what is the intention that wins you the reward from Allah. So the Prophet of Allah says that if you cannot even find a plate to cover it, what do? You just put a stick on top of it, as little as that, just to show that I am trying to do with what I have. If I had something bigger, I would have definitely covered it with that. But at least my intention was to cover. There may be some other benefits of putting a stick on it just alone, but the fact that the intention is there, this is what wins you pleasure of Allah. Next time, just leave, when you're leaving a cup there, a water bottle, put a lid back on, or you know, or if you're leaving some food or water overnight, if you just cover it with this intention that the Prophet of Allah said that you should cover it, you would feel that how this kind of connects, the smallest thing connects you with Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. So again, some of these things are obvious and you might already be doing them, but you do them for the sake because this is what you have been taught by others to do it logically, or is it because you do it out of love for Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him? Another one is, it is similar to the last narration. In this, the Prophet of Allah said, extinguish the lamps when you go to bed. Now, some people, especially those, you know, these type of fire lamps, the ones that run on fire, the Prophet said that turn them off when you go to bed. And the reason is very simple, that sometimes while you're asleep, if they catch fire, they can cause a lot of harm, right? But then at the same time, Prophet, peace be upon him, said it very generally, that extinguish the lamps when you go to bed. It is a very known, well-known phenomenon today, that the sleep that you get when you sleep in a lit room, well-lit room, versus when you sleep in a quite, you know, as dark as possible room, which is reasonably dark, there's a big difference between the restful sleep that you get in these two places. So extinguishing the lamps when you go to bed isn't just something that is definitely a safety precaution, and you might already be doing that. But then again, it carries physical and other health benefits as well that we might not even have realized back then. So all these things that the Prophet, peace be upon him, is teaching us to do, they have very simple, ordinary benefits that we feel day to day, but they have much more underlying benefits when we apply them to our lives. This was the beauty of the character, of the practices, of the lifestyle of Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. They can assist us live our life more naturally, closer to nature, even with all the other advancements that we have in our world today. So one, again, very simple reason is also that it can, as it was mentioned in the previous hadith, that extinguish the lamps, and similarly in this one as well. And it's because to protect us against fire hazards as well, so that we are safe. But then again, much more wisdom is there when you start to act upon the teachings of Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, for the sake of copying, imitating, adopting the sunnah, the character of Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. The next one is also related to bedtime, so I will mention this one as well. It is mentioned that the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, he saw a man laying on his stomach. So the Prophet said, indeed, such laying is not loved by Allah. A person sleeping on his stomach, the Prophet observed it, and he said that Allah does not like this. What Allah does not like, what is contrary to nature. what is contrary to the purpose or the way we have been built. Allah likes us to adopt the natural way, the way that He has created for us. That is what Allah loves. So what does the Prophet say? Allah does not like when, you know, and indeed such laying is not loved by Allah. So again, I see very often that, you know, sometimes you see a lot of youngsters and even older people sometimes, if you see them laying outside anywhere, sometimes just taking a rest under the tree or whatever, sometimes they'll be laying on their stomachs. And this practice should be avoided for various reasons. For a believer, simply because the Prophet said that Allah does not like it. For a Muslim, that is enough that Allah does not like this. So we avoid it. But then there is a lot of other health consequences and different things associated with this. If you go on your own time, you start researching, is it good to lay on your stomach and sleep on your stomach? You would realize that how many harms, how much harm there is. The sleep doctors, they say that the best sleeping position is one where your spinal alignment is perfect. It's right. Your back alignment, spinal alignment is right. Now, when you sleep on your stomach, basically in that moment, because of whatever tiredness or, you know, whatever you're feeling, you might say that, you know, this is restful to me, but it causes your back to go out of alignment in the right posture and out of that posture, causing a strain pull on your spine. And eventually, if this is your method of sleeping and you do this on a regular basis or time to time, eventually that strain will start to cause pain, back pain for you, which could be damaging, it could be permanent. We already go through different accidents that trigger these back pains, small, small things. Now, this is something, if you are doing this on, you know, unintentionally or without realizing the consequences of it, we are causing harm to ourselves in that way. So this is what Prophet of Allah is saying. Allah does not like when one lays down like this, because Allah loves nature. And this is against that. So there is many physical benefits to this very simple narration. But also when you see somebody laying like that, it's just very disrespectful and you can not, you know, that doesn't look right. So all those factors are considered. But the most important thing is that Allah does not like it because it is contrary to nature. And that is always the case. So when Prophet said it, when Allah has mentioned it in the Quran, or the Prophet has elaborated it through his actions, we don't need to necessarily go and research that what is the scientific things behind it. We can and we should, but we don't need to know that this is the right statement. When we do research, when we do study, what does that do? That helps us, that strengthens our faith in Allah the Almighty even more, that strengthens our faith in Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, even more, that how beautifully he has elaborated each and everything. There are, again, if you read into it, it causes neck pains as well, and then shoulder pains as well, and many other problems it can create, possibly immediately or even in, you know, down the road, long term, if you practice it every now and then or regularly, it could have its health effects. So again, there is many more narrations that can be mentioned in this regard. That this is the last one I will mention, and then inshallah we will end our meeting for today and possibly continue this in our next meeting, inshallah ta'ala. So in our next class, next episode. This next narration, the Prophet of Allah, peace be upon him, he said that I do not eat while reclining. Reclining meaning that when he takes the food, he's not leaning against the chair that he's sitting on, or he's not leaning against the wall or the sofa, whatever you might be sitting on, he's not leaning against it. And we should not do that either. We should sit a little bit forward instead of leaning against it, so that, again, there is many health benefits in it as well. But me, I simply need to do it because the Prophet did it. And you need to simply do it out of your love for the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. Right? So again, if you look into it, that if you lean back, how is it if you consume food at that time versus when you don't lean? Two simple facts that you will realize immediately. One is that leaning back causes more acid reflux, meaning the food comes up more, has more likelihood and more likelihood of acid reflux, and that can go on for much longer period than otherwise possible in other situations if you ate normally. And the second point is that if you are leaning, sometimes you do not realize until you're done eating that how much you have actually eaten, more than what your body can actually handle or more than what your body actually needs. So again, many, many more benefits you can get into it, but sitting in this position helps us understand that we realize we eat more consciously, and again protect us against certain other, acid reflux or other problems related to our stomach and whatnot. So again, I will end it here. I had at least 7 or 8 more slides on various topics, and inshallah ta'ala, in the coming weeks, we'll look into them as well, because I want us to understand and practice them as well. So let's go through them very quickly again, what they are, so that we don't need, we can start practicing them immediately. We don't need a long time to practice them. One of the practices of Prophet, peace be upon him, he said, "I do not eat while reclining." So when you're eating, please try that we do not lean against the back of the chair or the sofa or wall, whatever, wherever we are sitting. Then the Prophet said, "Indeed, Allah does not like it when and does not love when we sleep in a position on, on our stomach. Allah does not like it when we sleep on our stomach," meaning it's against nature. It is harmful to us. It hurts our bodies when we do that. So we should avoid laying on our stomach. When we go to bed, we should turn off all unnecessary lights for sure, and even those ones that have the possibility of causing a fire and whatnot. And even for our own restful sleep, as dark as it can be in our room, we should keep it that way, right? Some lights, maybe in some areas you might need it, just so that in case somebody needs to use the bathroom or go to the kitchen to collect water and whatnot. Again, nowadays, you might consider doing that, because now we don't have the risk of fire so much with light bulbs and this and that. But then at the same time, trying to follow the practice of Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as best as possible, right? Based on your situation, right? So all these things we should keep in mind. Then covering our cups and vessels. So whenever you leave, maybe there was a cup of tea that you were drinking, and while you were drinking, all of a sudden that you had to, go away. So now you could leave it uncovered and forget about it, meaning you could just come back to it and drink it. But the other option is you could cover it, not just so that it stays, warm or nothing harmful gets inside, but because the Prophet, peace be upon him, said you should do so. So if you do it for that sake, you get the reward for it. Then another one that I read out, that I shared, was cleaning the bed at night. Again, when you do that before getting into bed, you shake your bed, you are with this intention that the Prophet said, you will get the reward as well. And then again, it will also put you in that mind that next morning you can wake up for Fajr or Tahajjud with a bit more intention. So a lot of these things you might already be doing, or if not, you were not doing, you might know them but have not been practicing. So again, I always consider that this type of, when I share them, even to me, these things become a reminder and I start practicing them. So I hope and pray that what I've shared with all of us today, we try our level best to follow the character, the practices, the traits of Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some of them, as I said, may be more, require more discipline and more practice, more prayers, more spirituality, and we continue to work towards them. But there are many, many, many small ones that we should do. Today we took a long time to discuss the initial part of it. So in the coming weeks, inshallah, we can just quickly get into the small practices and look into them, so that we can cover as many as possible and try to implement them, apply them in our lives. So jazakallah to all of you for being here. May Allah's mercy and blessings be upon us all. Until next Thursday, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.